Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Richard and Joyce Hartnell.
Anyway, yes, we went out to Israel on this Kingdom Faith trip this time. It's actually the ninth time that we've been out there. So as Pastor Paul was just saying this then, God has done something on our hearts that we want to go out there that often. I tell you, when we came back, it was almost like I just left sort of my spirit behind as we flew away. We've actually got some photographs that we're going to put up as a little bit of a illustration to bring some points. So if Daniel put the first one up, we landed in Israel very early on a Sunday morning. That's two Sundays ago. Very early. I went straight out on a trip round. We headed off up country the first day, a night in Haifa, then across to the Galilee, and a couple of nights there. And on one of the occasions, one of the days when we're in the Galilee, we went out and we actually crossed the Galilee. That is the Galilee, taken that day, beautifully calm. You know, Peter had that storm in the boat come up when Jesus was sleeping in the back. Not a sign of it that day. Although we have it on good authority that storms like that do happen and will in fact flood the local areas. So why did we want to go to Israel at all? What's the background? What's the biblical evidence? What's the understanding that leads us to be that? Joyce, would you like just to bring a bit now?
Okay, I just want to read from Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 2. And this is the reason why Israel is important, or more important than perhaps anywhere else in the world. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. See, God has a special calling on the Jewish people and on the land of Israel. And he says, I'm jealous. I'm jealous for Zion. There's many scriptures that I could have chosen, or Bible really, but there's just so much that tells us God's heart, the Jewish people. Because his whole plan of salvation, he chose a man who didn't live in Israel, called Abraham, and took him to the land of Canaan, which is now Israel. And the whole salvation story is unfolded from there. Jesus was born in Israel, lived, died, raised from the dead, and he will come back there. Scriptures in Zechariah say he will come back and his feet will be on the Mount of Olives when he comes back. So Israel is central. And you've only got to look at the news. Israel's always in the news, but for negative reasons. It really is the center of everything. And that is really why we feel it so much on our hearts to pray for the Jewish people and to support them and love them. When we were in Haifa, which Richard's mentioned, we were at Mount Carmel Assembly, and there was a guy there that I haven't met before. He spoke to us. And at that point, I was still saying to the Lord, I'm not quite sure why we're here for this time, because we've been so many times before. What's this one all about? And one of the things that that man called Colin said, he looked at all of us, there was 24 of us, and he said, even if you do nothing else, even if you speak to no one else, if you do nothing else about this, the fact that you are here is significant for us. You are here as an encouragement to us. The people of Israel, the believers as well as the secular people, feel so alone in the world because the whole world's against them, really. They're surrounded by hostile nations. The believers feel quite cut off from the rest of the body of Christ. And so to have visitors from the rest of the world who choose to be there is a real, real encouragement. And that really spoke to me. If there's no other reason that I've come this time, I'm being an encouragement, not only to him and the church there, but to the rest of those in Israel. So that's just really, really important. I think it's time to hand back to you.
When we were in the Galilee area, we had a pastor come to visit us. Can I have the next slide, please, Dan. It's the next one after that. That, by the way, was in fact taken on the Golan Heights, actually looking out over Syria. It was a place for prayer and real intercession, looking out over what is very hostile area. The next slide shows Daniel Yahav. He's the guy on the left. Guy on the right, that's Jonathan Croft, Pastor Jonathan from Horsham. He was the tour leader. But Daniel Yahav, he is a messianic pastor, and he's been a messianic pastor, been leading a congregation now, something like 30-odd years, in the Galilee region, around Tiberias. And that is a congregation that has come under immense persecution. They were actually firebombed out of their building on one occasion. Thankfully, God had told him literally the night before, get your stuff out now. And he was a man who, when he hears God, he just says, okay, I'll do it. And they went and they got their stuff out, and the next night the building was firebombed. They then spent 5, 6, 7 years or whatever it was, going around from place to place, no home. Eventually, they were given managed to get a place up on the hills behind Tiberias. We went to it last time we were out there. We'll seat about 350 thereabouts, which, let's face it, that's about the maximum we could cope with here. They now have a congregation of 500, and is wondering where to put everybody. You know, a practical problem that we would love to have. Separate worship times is not really an opportunity for them. So they're really sort of sitting there thinking, what do we do? Lord, how do we go forward? But he is actually a mighty strong leader in the messianic body in Israel. Just a few days ago, while we were there, he actually called for a meeting or a prayer meeting in the Galilee to pray over the current situation that Israel finds themselves in. And 1,500 turned up. Well, that is about a tenth of all the Messianic Jews in Israel. But that's not bad for a prayer meeting. A five-hour prayer meeting, by the way, covered all sorts of stuff, starting off with a real repentance and seeking forgiveness from God. That is where the real church is at in Israel. They're no more real than we are. We're just all part of the body of Christ together. Amen? Now then, so that's a bit about Daniel Yahav. Do you have some more you want to say on that?
One of the things that Daniel was saying is that the body of Christ, the body of Messiah in Israel, needs stirring up. Really needs stirring up to see their situation and to pray. Yes, we all need to pray for them, but they need to rise up and pray too, which is why he's really had called this prayer meeting. I think he must be delighted with the numbers that turned up. I mean, they were meeting in the forest, somewhere in the Galilee, I'm not exactly sure where. So to see believers rise up, that's something we can pray for, that they will continue to be stirred up and more so. He was also talking about the fear that there is in the country. So many wars and rumors of wars. He said there's a lot of fear, some of it in the body of Christ, and a lot of it out on the streets. The secular Jewish people on the streets are very fearful of whether the state will continue to exist. There's a poll being done, and they reckon that about half of Israelis, yes, half of them fear for the state's existence if war with Iran erupts. Between 36 and 40% of Israelis believe the Holocaust could happen again. So there is a lot of fear. And he also said that the people on the street, they don't know what some of us know, the prophecies in the Bible. They don't know them. You think it's the Holy Land, and you think they're all holy, and you think they all know the scriptures, but it's not so. It really isn't so. But these people who don't know the scriptures also don't want to know. They just kind of want to bury their heads in the sand and get on with life and hope nothing will happen. But it's not an easy situation. I asked him specifically, how do we pray? And I've got a whole list of prayer points which we can bring out at our Israel prayer meetings. But the important thing was to pray for God's mercy, that there will be time for people to get saved. Already many Jewish people have been saved. Richard said there's about 15,000 in Israel that have been saved. But they need more time. There's so many more of them that don't yet know the Lord, and at the minute don't want to know the Lord. So we can pray for God's mercy that this, what looks like inevitable war with Iran, that will be put off for a time, that many more can get saved.
Right, we moved on from the Galilee region, we went south. Remember that Jesus set his face like flint and headed down south from the Galilee, heading down towards Jerusalem. But what he would have done, he would have gone down the Jordan Valley and then turned right and gone up a valley up into Jerusalem. If he tried to go as the crow flies, it would be a very hilly, bumpy route. So we carried on down. We actually called in at Jericho. And now those of you who've been to Faith Camp, do you remember seeing Labib Madanat? Yeah? Well, he was at the Palestine Bible Society, and we had a wonderful time with him. But now he is an Arab. He's an Arab Christian. He actually lives in Jordan. He had crossed over the boundary, the border, that morning to come and talk with us, to meet with us in Jericho. Now, Jericho is in the West Bank. So we went into the West Bank. There it's, you would hardly know there's anything really going on. We had a great time with him. And there's such a gentle spirit in that man. Pray for the Arab peoples, the Arab Christians particularly. Because there are those who understand God's perspective on Israel, and those who don't. And those who don't, well, let's say they just need to be prayed for, that they will come into the understanding of God's plans and God's purposes for his people. We actually listened or watched some of the videos from the Christ from the Checkpoint conference, which took place in Bethlehem a couple of months ago. And there's a very definite distinction in the spirit of those who understand, really understand what God has got in mind for Israel, and those who are, how shall we say, nationalistically minded. On the way down, we went through to Jerusalem itself, to the Western Wall. That is actually a picture of the Western Wall that I took that morning. We were actually on our way up on top, but we went down there later on. And actually going up and praying at that wall is an experience that if ever you're in Israel, if ever you're in Jerusalem, go there. Because you walk up to that wall, that is literally the western side of the Temple Mount. So those are the stones there that were there in Herod's time. Okay, just that small area. And as you get up there and you get there to pray, and you put your hands on the wall, you might think, what on earth am I doing, putting my hands on a wall? But I tell you, the presence of the Spirit is awesome. Right there. You're connecting with the God of creation. Another one of the Western Wall at that time in the morning. You can see bright blue sky, bright sunshine. Next one, please, Dan. You know, just to rub it in, you know. But while we were there, we actually went through the checkpoints once more, into the West Bank, into Bethlehem, to visit this young lady. And she is working with children, young children, disadvantaged children, all sorts. For some, the situation is dire, but they are a ray of hope. So that is, again, somebody else to pray for, because that is a person just like you or me. Nothing special about her, that God said, go. And she went. Not really knowing what she was going to be doing, how it's going to work, how she's going to get funded. And here we are 5 years, 6 years down the track. But having an impact into the locality. When we had finished in Jerusalem on the last day, we actually skipping slightly ahead here, on our way out of Jerusalem, heading back to the airport, we met this couple, Barry and Batya Segal. They're part of Vision for Israel and the Joseph Storehouse. And they are a humanitarian aid organization. If we can have the next slide, Dan, please. you'll see some of the, again, rather a narrow aisle in a long warehouse full of aid. Now, they are a group that are a messianic ministry that is providing aid to whomsoever needs it within Israel and indeed beyond on occasion. They provide all sorts of medical stuff for the hospitals. They provide food parcels. They provide clothing, all sorts. And they'll just take it and deliver it. I mean, that is a mighty work of God, that is. However, the day before was actually last Sunday. We had a bit of a marathon day up, you know, rather early. We were sort of at the Western Wall again to go through the tunnels at about 7:20 in the morning. That's 5:20 your time, just to put it into perspective, you understand? but we had the sunshine. But we had the sunshine and the warmth. But later on in the day, we went onto the walls of Jerusalem itself, and we prayed on the walls of Jerusalem. And that was something I actually discovered that Kingdom Faith Tours have not done before, as far as I understand. So we felt quite privileged to introduce something into Kingdom Faith, as it were. What I'd like you to do, if you will, please, is to, if you've got your Bibles and want to turn to Isaiah 62, please do. If you haven't, Dan will bring the scriptures up on the screen. And do you know that in the first letter to Timothy, Paul instructs his charge, his student, as it were. One of the things he instructs him to do is to continue with a public reading of Scripture. And it occurs to us that it would be good that we read the Scripture together, the whole of Isaiah 62, because in the middle of that, you'll discover one of our rationales for being there and for praying on the walls we did, and then I'll tell you a bit more about praying. So can I ask you all to stand up, please? We'll read the Word of God together. Read it off there so we can all read the same scriptures as we go. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or your name desolate, but you will be called Heshbivah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will I give your grain and food to your enemies, and never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you have toiled. But those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will be called, sought after, the city no longer deserted. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. Praise God. Now, in the middle of all of that, you came across those verses there about watchmen on the walls, O Jerusalem. There will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest until he reestablishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Who is it who's posted the watchman? It is God. God has put it in the hearts of people that he chooses to be watchmen on the walls. Do you actually need to be literally on the walls? And by here, please understand, I'm talking about the walls that go around Jerusalem. We were praying at the Western Wall earlier, but on this occasion, we were actually praying literally up on top of the old walls. These were the walls built by Saladin in 400, 450 years ago. So not the original walls, but still old enough. And we were to pray on there. So we took the group up onto the walls at about 3:30, our time, 1:30, your time, and had a couple of locations. This was the first scripture that we read. And then what I did was to get the group to pray prophetically using that scripture over the old city which was in front of us and the rest of Jerusalem which was spread right around us. A real vantage point. And this we did. And this was powerful because you are prophetically declaring the word of God. You know what prophecy means in scripture, don't you? A speaking forth of the word of God. Yes, speaking forth about something that's going to happen in the future is a part of it, but prophecy really, biblically, is speaking forth the word of God. And that's what they were doing there on the walls. We moved to another location and prayed some more and different scriptures. A powerful time. It so happened that we then had 30 minutes to get to King of Kings community and join in with their evening worship, and then onto their prayer tower later on for some more prayer. You know that there are 24/7 works of prayer in Jerusalem. Four of them. And the one where we were was just one of them. So, Joyce has already mentioned that we pray for Israel routinely in this church. At the moment, we're doing that at the 9:00 at Lamplugh House on the second Tuesday and the fourth Thursday. But that's how we're running it for the moment. But we're also planning on bringing prayer for Israel to the summit here in Scarborough, starting in the new year, probably once a month. Dates and times we still have to work through. It'd be great to have you along because you're fulfilling some of God's purposes and plans for us as a people and bringing glory to his name. Amen.
Well, praise you, Jesus. Amen. Are you confused about why we would pray for Israel or why we don't pray for Israel or what stance we are? Or maybe you want a little bit more explanation of when you read Isaiah 62, does that mean we're just reading it for the nation of Israel now or the Jewish people now? Or do we read it for ourselves and all that kind of thing? Well, next week, because there isn't the time to go into it properly this morning, I'll give a little bit more explanation and a little bit more of biblical exegesis. That sounds like a good word. I don't even know if it's the right one. I'll give you a little bit more on what it means to read the Old Testament and take hold of the promises for ourselves, and to read the Old Testament and pray those promises over the people of Israel. Because our God is a God of promise. And the one thing I will say at this point, if God has promised something to a group of people, such as the Jewish people, then he's not going to forget those promises because he's decided to take on board a new group of people. And that's very important to us. Because if it meant that he could forget promises, he could forget us. But it says that our God never forgets promises made to people. So when we read the old, we can take hold of it for ourselves and we can take hold of it for the Jewish people as well. And it's great fun sometimes to read the prophecies in the Old Testament and ask the Holy Spirit, what does that mean for me today? You know, and what does that mean for us as a church today? And next week we'll have a look at that from a Jewish and a Kingdom Faith, or even your own church if you come from another church perspective. So that's what we're going to do next Sunday. I hope you were blessed by what Richard and Joyce had to share. Amen. It was good, wasn't it?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.